Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tonight, we'll be talking about ADHD kids using art to manage emotional self-regulation. In our virtual studios are our ladies from Navigating ADD. And everybody, tonight is Wednesday, November the 9th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are on the eve of the 2016 International CHAD Conference that's being held in Costa Mesa, California. This show is being recorded live because Caroline and myself and our ladies are actually en route going out there. If you have not been to a CHAD conference and you're in the area, come on down, check it out. If not, put it on your calendar for next year. I guess one other little plug is we've always enjoyed our relationship with CHAD, and tonight they're bringing a special tip for you. And they are this show is actually being brought to you by CHAD. So let's run the tape and get on with the show.
Are you aware that the Department of Education issued new guidelines regarding 504 plans? What does this mean for your child? Learn more about your child's educational rights on the CHAD website, which is now www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
All right, let's kick this show off. Tonight, Caroline McGuire is going to take over the reins and actually do our interview tonight. So, Caroline, I'm excited about tonight's show.
I am very excited. I have spoken with Holly and Tracy for a while and have wanted to do this show, and we can't wait.
Right. Well, why don't you just go ahead and kick it off? Let's get into it.
All right. So first and foremost, Tracy and Holly, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Caroline. We're really excited to be here and talking about this topic.
Yay. I am so excited, too. As you know, we have sort of 6 degrees of separation acquaintanceship. So we've talked before, and one of the things we talked about that you all mentioned I loved as an image, I'd like to start off with, since we're talking about emotional self-regulation and ADHD, you had an image that I'd love for you to describe that you've used with kids, which was about a firecracker, I think.
Yes, it's one of the projects included in one of our ADHD art guides, and it's a firecracker that it actually, you know, it's kind of a funny image to think about, but when we're comparing it to anger, the firecracker, you know, we think of that big explosive anger outburst. So the firecracker image was kind of a no-brainer when we were developing this project. But what it is it helps kids understand that when they're having an angry outburst, it doesn't generally just happen out of nowhere. It's usually a buildup of various things that have happened throughout their day. And then at the end, it's kind of that final last straw that makes their firecracker blow up. So we help the kids kind of understand this range of anger and the range of events that have happened throughout the day to help them diffuse their firecracker so that maybe they're dealing with each thing as it comes versus waiting for the big explosion to happen.
All right. I love that image, not just because I love firecrackers, but because I think there's a real connectivity that a kid in the beginning, which was to say, I should ask who's speaking, or I should say, hey, Holly, I want to add to that or whatever. So let me correct myself before we get too far into the show. With the angry outburst, tell us a little bit about this idea of the anger building up, because I think that this is so true. We see a lot of tools that talk about this nowadays, and I love this firecracker, but I'm not sure parents are always as aware of that buildup.
Yeah, Caroline, I think you're right. I think oftentimes when parents experience their child blowing up, you know, it the first thing to think about is, you know, oh my gosh, what's happening right here, right in this moment? And if the reaction is to something really simple, like how was your day, or I need you to pick up your dirty socks, and it's a huge explosion, what Holly and I love to always stress and talk about is there's this whole buildup of a whole bunch of different things that we might not be aware about that are stressors for our children. And it can be things like the bus ride to school, or it could be redirection from the moment that they woke up. And it could be all positive, kind words even that people are saying to them, but the constant drain of holding it together, paying attention, needing to have a lot of reminders to complete tasks can really build up over a day and then leaves the child feeling like they don't even know why they just had a huge glow up, but it felt out of control for them.
I love that discussion because I think it's really important. The idea that these kids have to hold it together really isn't something we talk about as much as we probably should, because I think we can all who have ADHD relate to that feeling from elementary and middle school and high school life. But I think that that buildup over the day often does result in just this, you know, snappy explosion when you as a parent ask them a question and about those stressors. Holly, what about people who have kids who have a little bit of the expressive language delay, or they just don't express their emotions? What role does this firecracker image play for them?
Well, I think that this is great because, imagery can be so important, particularly for kids that have difficulty with verbal expression, because you can kind of cut through all the language and cut through the words and just use the pictures to get their message across. And it can trigger that sense in their brain that they are being heard and people are understanding them when they can have a delay in that area.
Do you find, Holly or Tracy, using art that kids who can't express this emotion, you know, because often these explosions happen and the parent says to them, you have to tell us when you're upset, but the kid can't. Do you find that those kids sort of have an aha about their emotional regulation because of this firecracker image?
I'm sorry.
Go first and then I'll go. That's okay. We have so much to say.
We do. I was going to say, that's a really great point. And sometimes I like to think of, you know, creating these art projects with the kids because it's a starting point. It gives them that image and gives them that validation that what they're feeling is being experienced by other kids. And again, you know, you can kind of take the art project further. And instead of using all that language, maybe the next time they've had a stressful day or their firecracker is about to explode, you can cut through all the language and just say firecracker. And then that can kind of spur the conversation or spur them to express what they need to express.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, I'm sorry, I let one person sleep. Let me let the other person speak.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was also thinking, you know, it's really great for children who have a hard time verbally expressing themselves to have something really concrete that they can draw, that they can paint, that they can write words or write little pictures. It doesn't really matter. But the fact that they can take all of these things that are swirling in their mind and get it down in a different way than they are probably used to doing makes it really clear for a parent or anyone working with a child to really gain a better understanding of what's happening for them. And for the child, it definitely brings up a different layer of self-awareness because they get to see their thoughts on paper in a whole different way. And I think it really brings a lot of clarity.
So let me also recap, because I love that, with the clarity and bringing these realizations or these ahas forward, is that something I should have said, which is that you all use art along with this image, and you use the art to help them with this clarity.
Yes, we do. We use art in many different ways. With this particular activity, we might have a child simply draw what they think a firecracker looks like and then have them actually put right on the firecracker what these different stressors are and have been for them on any given particular day. And there's the possibilities are really endless, as if you have a child who doesn't like to draw, maybe they're going to create something out of clay or maybe they're going to paint. But the whole conversation stems from this idea that a firecracker, you know, goes from not being lit to lit, and it happens really quickly.
I love that, because I think it's really important, you know, just to have that discussion where, so you're giving them an outlet, you're allowing them to express this, you're using art. Tell me something. We'll go to Holly first. Why use art? What does that do for the child?
oh, we have so many reasons why we love using art with children with ADHD. The number one thing for me is that it's a great way to address some of the more challenging aspects of ADHD in a fun way. So, you know, they're used to being redirected for certain symptoms or certain challenges they face, and this is a way for them to talk about it and maybe generate strategies in a way that's enjoyable to them. And it just kind of cuts through all that negativity and helps them experience it in a positive way.
I love that mm-hmm. image, because so many times you're, as a parent, baffled as to what to do to redirect mm-hmm. that. And like you said, you kind of have lived through this explosion, and now you have to get on with life, but you really have to address the underlying symptoms. Tracy, do you have anything you want to add about the use of art?
Yeah, you know, one thing I especially enjoy about using art is that, you know, as we know with ADHD, the brain really needs to be doing more than one thing at the same time, especially when it's a task that's not all that stimulating, or it could be having a conversation that is more emotionally volatile. So using art really gives a child the ability to be able to talk out loud while they're creating something, or to even just be processing whatever it is they need to process while they're engaged in art. So it really lends itself really well to the ADHD brain to be able to really process, but also be able to think and express what's happening.
I love that, but I have also one thing I want to loop back to make sure that parents who are trying to apply this at home can really, you know, see the full picture, which is, you know, you're talking about this this ability to process the information and the ability to, use the brain. Absolutely, it's true. Tell me something, just because not everybody spends their entire day working on all this stuff like we do. why is it so important with emotional regulation and explosiveness for the child to be able to use language to express this and also process it?
I think that's a great question. And I think, it's two different things to be able to use language and process the emotion. A lot of times children, whether they're diagnosed with ADHD or not, their emotions are really big and they kind of overcome them, and they're not really sure that they even have control over their emotions, particularly anger. You know, it just seems to come out of nowhere, and you know, the idea of processing the feeling gives them a sense that they can control some of these anger, and, you know, that there's a range to anger. You know, it starts with annoyance and frustration and mad, angry, then the explosive outburst. So if they can have some sense of control, they can kind of regulate what is going to be their reaction for each of the stages of anger.
I love that image. So the image is really that everything happens in sort of these stages, and that you mm-hmm. don't just suddenly lose control. It comes on, and
exactly.
We start with this annoyance, and we all have experienced this. But you're basically, Holly, talking about pinpointing that.
Right. And so, you know, like if they come home and have an explosion because their pencil broke, you know, maybe if they, a more appropriate response would be, oh, what a bummer, I need to get a new pencil. You know, it doesn't always have to be the explosion. And so once you start to help them process that and understand the emotion of anger, they really do start to feel more confident and in how they're expressing their anger.
I love it. That's wonderful. Do we have anything to add? And then we have to run to a break. I just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to add. Tracy, to add something.
No, I think that summed it up perfectly.
Okay. So I am here with the two ladies from Navigating ADHD, and Tracy Bromley-Goodwin and Holly Overcracker. And we have been talking about this image of a firecracker and the fact that most people, their anger builds up, and the kid needs a way to process anger and a way to understand their anger. We are going to run to a break and come back. But before we go to a break, what would you ladies like to have people take a look at?
We would love people to take a look at our website. There's a lot of really wonderful resources on there. It is navigatingadhd.com. You can take a look at some art and some art projects. And for those of you traveling to Chad, we can't wait to see you. We'll be at the Innovative Programming, and we'll also have a booth.
Wonderful. We will just run to a break, and we will be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hello, we are now back. Sorry about that, guys. But here we are with two wonderful folks from Navigating ADHD, Tracy Bromley Goodwin and Holly Obercracker, and we are talking about explosive and emotional regulation behavior. And we had a chat before the break about too big of an emotion, things that build up over the day, and using art and this image of a firecracker to help kids learn about how emotions build up, learn what the appropriate response is, and regulate. But here's the thing that I get a lot as a question around this. So I'm going to say, Holly, we'll go first. What if you're not Picasso? Because people get worried about that with art.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And the projects that we've designed with our ADHD art guides are designed for those that aren't necessarily artists at all. You know, we use a lot of basic materials. And the goal, rather than creating a beautiful piece of art, is just to create a strategy or a piece of expression. So, you know, the projects that we've created don't require beautiful Picasso-level paintings. They require a pencil and a piece of paper or some clay or some recycled junk materials. And really, it's just about the process versus the product you're creating.
I love that. It's about the process versus the product. I'm definitely going to let Tracy speak, I promise. But here's just a quick question based on the process versus the product. Do you find that when a child is engaged in just this process, it helps them with emotional regulation, just the process of taking out a piece of paper and doing art?
Definitely. You know, there's two pieces to that. You know, just creating art, there is sort of this catharsis that kids and adults can feel because it's going to a place in their brain where it is calming and soothing, and it's very productive. So, you know, particularly if you have ADHD and you feel disorganized or your mind is swirling, you know, creating a piece is productive, and it's an accomplishment. It's a success that you can feel.
That's wonderful. I like that. And I think that that is very true. And that's what adult coloring books for kids are about. And there's some different things. So I love that. But I know this is a question I get. Tracy, would you like to add anything about using the art and whether or not you're Picasso?
Yes, definitely. So Holly is the artist here, and I can barely draw stick figures. So I understand when sometimes parents or clinicians or coaches, you know, feel a little bit intimidated about, oh, I'm not sure how I would use art or why would I use art, especially if I would not consider myself to be an artist. And the thing about it, as Holly mentioned, is this can be anything. It can be stick figures. It can be doodling. It can be absolutely anything. And just opening up the experience to using art, typically for kids when I'm working with them, it immediately just kind of sets the stage for some calm that they didn't know they could experience from the art. You know, when you ask about the process and how can it help with emotional regulation, I've worked with many kids who have not experienced picking up a piece of clay, for example. And just from having the clay in their hand and using it on the table have discovered this makes me feel really good. I should probably just have a piece of clay and smash it on my table at home when I'm getting frustrated, or I should do it before I even start my homework. So, you know, not even making anything out of the clay, but just having it in your hand can just open up a whole new way of thinking for kids.
I love that. So the image of the clay being around and then smashing it on the table makes you feel better, and that maybe that should be something you have around. And I also cannot draw a stick figure with a ruler, so I like that image, Tracy. And I think that it's a really good point to bring up because, you know, I think so often as parents we forget that, you know, it's not about this production, it's about the process. And so I wanted to bring that up because it's a question that I think people listening will have to say, well, you know, well, what if my kid isn't an artist or this isn't their area of talent? So I appreciate that because I think it's really important. And my other question about using this art is, do you think that somehow this art experience builds self-awareness?
Absolutely. Oh, I think it definitely brings self-awareness. And that's kind of one of our goals with every project we introduce because, you know, the very heart of ADHD treatment is gaining more awareness of how your brain works and how to address your challenges. And so sometimes, you know, using an art project can bring about that awareness quicker because of visual imagery. You know, you can make associations with the brain or, you know, with the firecracker, with really any imagery, it's going to help connect those dots a little quicker.
I love that. Tracy, do you want to add anything?
Sure. I think the self-awareness is just a natural part or aspect of using art. I think there oftentimes when using art, it frees up the brain to be able to think differently, and children all the time discover things about themselves or a reason why their emotions got the best of them or the reason why something was frustrating simply from kind of drawing it out. Or being able to have something in their hand while they're thinking and talking helped that level of awareness grow immediately. So I think it's very, very much part of growing self-awareness and very beneficial.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that imagery and connecting the dots is absolutely key because you can draw the firecracker and show it exploding and show the emotions building, and then it does free the brain. And let me just say before we run to a break, because I want to make sure parents are sort of able to take this all in and apply it, do you feel that a parent should, you know, tell the child the aha, or do you think that they should help have them build that self-awareness around the emotional regulation over time? I'll take Holly first.
You know, I think that's really individual and based on the age of the child. I think that aha generally comes pretty naturally. And a lot of the art projects that we do are guided by the child. So they are the ones coming up with the imagery on their own, and we can kind of nudge them in the way to connect those dots. But for the most part, they do it on their own. You know, for a child that's very young, we can go back to Ned Halliwell's image of the Ferrari brain with the bicycle brakes. You know, that's the kind of thing that you need to explain for a very young child. But when we're talking, you know, 8, 9, 10 and up, they're going to come up with their own imagery, which is usually way more creative than we could ever come up with.
Yes, it usually is. Tracy, is there anything else you want to add?
Sure. One thing you can do is to acknowledge what you are noticing your child is taking away as aha moments, you know, making comments that maybe involve, oh, wow, that's so interesting. I didn't even know that that's what you were thinking. Or, oh, wow, that's I would never have thought of that idea. That can then cement this new thought or this new strategy or this new information that's discovered and solidifies it in the child's brain. So like Holly said, it does happen naturally, but certainly you can also add in there a little bit of acknowledgement when you notice your child having an aha type of moment.
I love that because it's really basically what this show is about, which is paying attention to what you're paying attention to. So it's basically saying, pay attention, pause and pay attention because this is what's going on right now. You're having this aha, which I think can get lost because of the bicycle brakes. So I love that image. And I think that was a great way to help cement the aha without sort of tell, but allowing them to sort of pay attention to it by saying, wow, I never thought of that, or wow, I'm interested in that. So I love it. We are going to run to a break. We are here with the ladies from Navigating ADHD. Their website is navigatingadhd.com. They have art guides. They will be at the CHAD conference with us. And you have a booth, you said where?
We will be presenting in the innovative programming, so that will be Thursday evening, and then we'll have a booth in the exhibit hall for the rest of the weekend.
Absolutely wonderful. NavigatingADHD.com, and we are going to run to a break.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
All right, we are back, everyone. We are here with Tracy Bromley-Goodwin, Holly Obercracker from Navigating ADHD. They use art to help with self-regulation, emotional regulation. We're having a great chat. I had a question that I was thinking about over the break, which was, you know, sometimes we as parents and as educators have great ideas, but it's implementation that gets us. How do you get a kid to use art in the moment when they're struggling with self-regulation? Do you have any tips or anything that you find works, Holly?
Well, a lot of the art projects that we recommend are actually more proactive. And so it's laying that foundation so that in the moment they'll be able to retrieve the skills that we're working on. So if we go back to the firecracker, we actually want to work on that before the explosive outburst, or perhaps a few days after the previous explosive outburst. So then for the next time we can refer to it. You know, there certainly are some art materials and art supplies you can use in the moment, but if they're in the throes of a giant temper tantrum and having an outburst, it's going to be difficult to get them to sit down and do a drawing. Might be a little easier to hand them some model magic or some clay and just have them kind of work through, you know, work it in their hands to help calm themselves.
That's a great point. And that goes back to sort of the Dr. Ross Green about the explosive behavior and how they, you know, sort of enter into a vapor lock state at some point where we just have to sort of ride this out. Tracy, is there anything else that you want to add about the in the moment?
Sure. I think sometimes, especially for kids who definitely experience art before we even introduce it as something that's calming for them or a good outlet when they're feeling frustrated. Sometimes what we'll do is try and help them match up when they're starting to feel, you know, a little bit frustrated or, you know, at a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10, that might be a good time to go grab the clay. They might have a box or a certain bin that they keep some supplies in. And so it becomes more of a strategy as they begin to develop that self-awareness of what to do when they experience some of those stressors on the firecracker. So that's one way to be able to use it purposefully in the moment.
Oh, I love that. So there were a bunch of things that you said. I want to recap here, one of which is sort of what to do when. So it's sort of like, you know, before and then when this comes up and they're experiencing the stressors. And then you said something else I really liked, which is about having a bin of supplies. Do you do that with kids?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes that's actually a project that someone might create, is creating that bin, that shoebox, that bag of different things that they know makes them feel better. And if they need space or time alone or they're having a bad day, that there's things in that that can help them feel calm. And that, again, when they're developing that self-awareness and they're able to catch themselves before the big explosion, these are the things that they can use that are in that bin or in that box or whatever it might be.
And I can picture them liking, especially little ones, liking to create that bin rather than talk. So I think that's a great idea. And you said something else I just want to touch on. You mentioned something about using 1 to 10, using like a rating scale. Do you mind talking more about that? And then I'll loop back to Holly.
Sure. I think there's many different ways to use different types of rating scales, but sometimes, just like with the firecracker, we might actually think about how sometimes, like a broken pencil, for example, that might feel like it's a 10, but where do you think it really needs to be on a scale of 1 to 10? Is that an emergency kind of situation that we should be, you know, completely upset and angry and, you know, somebody hurt you kind of situation versus this was something small that happened? So it really should probably be down on a lower level on that scale when we're thinking about just ranges of anger. So I think, you know, there's a few different ways to do that. If Polly, if you want to speak about that part as well, I know that you have a whole bunch of different ways you use numbers and scales.
I do. I love labeling things with numbers on a scale because, it puts a little bit more control over the emotion. And I think, you know, a rating scale, is your anger a 1 or a 10 or is it in the middle of 5? It does give them that sense of, okay, you know, if it's at a 2, then this is the strategy I use. If it's at a 5, then I use this strategy. And it just puts a little order in a very chaotic emotion.
I love that. Order into a chaotic emotion, which is exactly what it is when there's self-regulation issues. There's just so much of that, you know, the parent also with ADHD has to self-regulate, which isn't always easy when you're faced with this, you know, very, very dramatic reaction to a broken pencil. So I love that. So Holly was saying, you know, that about the chaos. And do you find that it's good to actually create, Holly, a list for the kid of, you know, 1 is I do this, 2 is I do that?
I definitely do that. And, you know, some kids like to color code it. Some kids like to use their own language for what the feelings are. You know, I say explosive anger. They might say firecracker mad or whatever it is. We use their language on whatever scale we're creating, and I let them do the number and the color coding. And then it really is just giving them the steps. So, you know, if your feeling is annoyed, step 1 is to take a deep breath and move on. If you're feeling, you know, super mad, then you're going to take a deep breath and you're going to walk away and go to your chill zone until you're ready to deal with it. So if they know exactly what to do when they're feeling an emotion, it does help them regulate, which previously was unregulated.
That's a great tip for parents. So this is this idea of creating sort of a little visual, and then you can call it up in the time, and the kid has the strategies and they're set, and you would do this, Holly, I assume, at a time when they're very calm and happy.
Definitely. And then, you know, I always like to think of a lot of these art projects that they're doing as a tool. So a tool that they have to learn and make it come natural for them. So their parents can be very much involved in the process, and they can say, wow, it looks like you're at an 8, but really it's just a broken pencil, so let's bring you back down to a 2. What would you do if this were a 2? And then it kind of tells them exactly, okay, instead of, you know, kicking and screaming, I'm going to take a deep breath and get a new pencil.
A lot. We've done a lot with that poor little pencil. No, but I love that image because, you know, that is often, as you well know, the issue with emotional regulation is this disproportionate, overly emotional response, and it has social skills implications as the kids get older because people are not loving when they behave that way. So I think that I love letting the kid also use their own words. So if it's over the top anger, firecracker mad, super mad, whatever it is, and then sort of figure it out. And you mentioned also the chill zone. Is there a specific chill zone, or that's just the language you're using?
Yeah, that came from, we wrote a book several years ago, and that was in one of the chapters of our book. We help our clients discover what their own personal chill zone is, which is essentially just a place where they can go to calm themselves down. And, you know, this may be a place where, like Tracy mentioned, they have their box of art supplies. It may have a favorite book, or maybe it's just a cozy corner of their house, but it's a place where they have a directed place to go to calm down. So they're not keeping themselves in the stressful situation. They're essentially just walking away until they're calm.
I love that because sometimes, you know, they want to go someplace that's not going to help the rest of the family function. So having your own personal
exactly.
chill zone, I will be personally looking that up. Tracy, we have said so much. Do you want to add anything about the chill zone or any of the other stuff we've been talking about?
No, I think, you know, we just really believe in helping children figure out these things for themselves. So when creating a chill zone, we spend a lot of time of helping kids develop that awareness to know, you know, where is the best place to go. There was a child I worked with the other day who was really upset the day before, and he had been in his closet. That's where he went. And his mom wasn't really sure, if, you know, was that okay? Was he hiding from her? She wasn't really sure. And, you know, after thinking about it and talking about it and doing some drawing around it, he said that it made him feel calm because it was small and he felt like closed in, which felt good to him, and it calmed his body down. So I think, you know, there's a lot that you can draw out of your children where they know some of the answers to these things on what will help them, but it's just a matter of pulling it out. And the art can really help do that.
I love that. That's a great image. So the child actually has the image, and the child has the information, rather, and we're just pulling it out. And that's, I find, so true. They have an idea of what they could do, but we as parents don't pause to ask them. And saying, you know, let them tell you the chill zone. I think that's a great image, and that really can help with the self-regulation. And then we also have, we're creating this box or a place for all of the stuff they can use to self-regulate and work in the heat of the moment. And that's a great image. Wow, there's so much here. I'm so happy. Anything else you would like to add before we wrap up about the use of these tools for emotional regulation?
I think that this is just a great opportunity to also have fun. You know, emotional regulation is hard, and it's hard for children, it's hard for parents, it's hard for teachers, it's hard for anyone. So using art just can take some of that pressure off of the heaviness and the exhaustion, and make it fun and enjoyable and find a different approach to something that has been frustrating. And when you can do something fun and learn from it, that's part of the reason why we love it so much.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that it's actually you're doing something. So sometimes we get so stuck in our emotions, particularly anger, that we feel out of control and we don't know what to do. So sometimes the art piece just gives us that confidence that we are doing something. We're not just lost in the emotion. There's something we can do to, you know, help get through it and help manage it.
I love that. That's a really good point because often people are at a loss, and this whole show has given so many strategies, and I know your website does too, about how to do these things. and how to approach this, and it gives people some action steps they can take. And I want to harken back to something you said, too, that I love, which is that teachers can do this. So you could create a chill zone in a classroom.
Absolutely.
In unison, in chorus. Well, I'm hoping some teachers out there will hear this and think about creating a chill zone. And I am loving all this advice. Thank you so much for coming on. We have to wrap up, but we will be seeing each other very shortly. And just anything else you want to add as we wrap up?
No.
Well, just thank you so much for having us.
Great. We will do some projects at home with art. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good night.